Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Chill show tonight, not much happening, but the Trump depression is showing up now that we have a Laura Loomer, who previously had said, had called Nick Fuentes, I believe, to unity. Unity with the Trump campaign. We have to be with Trump no matter what. Now, Laura Loomer is like, no, Trump, you have to do something. Your campaign sucks right now. Even Trump himself seems totally down. There was a recent press conference where he doesn't seem energetic at all. Leftists were pointing out that he's having difficulty hearing the journalist questions. He's getting them to repeat a lot. It seems that Trump, what Laura Loomer tells Trump is all aesthetics concerns. It's like, oh yeah, you have to redo your messaging. But it's not this. There's not an aesthetic fix for abandoning your political base. And so Trump is in a very bad corner here with Kamala rising in the surveys. Who know why? It's the same Kamala as 1 week ago, 2 weeks ago, but somehow the leftists are getting energized around her. Okay, that's what they do. That's what they'll always do. But Trump, on the other side, has locked his own hands on the Israel versus America question, and he has chosen Israel. And so it's very hard for him to redo any sort of cosmetic change to his strategy if you don't fix this fundamental problem. John Drake says he was all in on weapons to Israel. Oh yeah, he repeats it as if it's not the Achilles heel of his campaign. And I'm looking at Bitcoin price. It's amazing. 61.5K. It's not a full recovery to the all-time high, but it's a quick recovery. Wasn't it 2 days ago that we were at 49K? 49.999K? Like we touched 50K. A few days ago, and now we're at 61.5K. It's amazing how massive the variations are in crypto. Of course, at 50K, it's Bitcoin on sales. At 50K, you can't hold that price for any longer than a few seconds because you're letting people in at a cheaper price, and everyone expects Bitcoin to rise, so it rises back again in no time. Fantastic. It's indicative that my reading was correct, that we are well on our path for those who hold Bitcoin to higher highs. John Drake says BTC is the definition of anti-fragile. Perhaps, absolutely. Perhaps that is one way of viewing Bitcoin. Shamrock Shake says, hope Trump wins. Kamala is insufferable. I have very little care for who wins, but I'm starting to have a slight preference for Kamala because I would like to at least be able to say we did something on the right this year. We advanced on a front. You know, a year ago or 2 years ago, it was the Elon acquisition of X, our recovery of free speech. I would like to be able to say at least we sent a message. The Republican strategy of George Bush is not intelligent. It's not going to get you support, and the left will pass you at the finish line if you keep doing this. That would be an interesting progress for 2024, which could set the stage for a future truly Republican, truly right-wing, and truly conservative, and America first president. People are talking about this Florida teen, this autistic teen, who, you know, you'll remember, he was smashing the face of his teacher. I kind of found this video interesting because it's like, white females at the front line of civilizational advancement trying to teach black kids. It's all this symbolism. My God, Bitcoin is rising 1K by the minute. My clock is updating every 5 minutes. We're not at 61.5K. We're now at 62.5K. Wow. Unbelievable. So I was interested in this case because it's a case of white females making all white female establishments and basically trying to deliver the parental service of white civilization to non-whites. And being faced, of course, with the violent backlash that it involves, because teaching is rape. And I'm not even saying it jokingly. It's a joke in the context of the extreme Me Too stuff and the left's obsession with rape. But teaching truly is rape. Teaching is, I'm going to put something in your brain that going forward will influence all of your behaviors. And you won't even quite consent to it because you're too young and you're naive about the subjects I'm teaching you about. So teaching always involves a sort of violation. And the non-whites, they have this kind of innate detection of this violation. And their reaction is very often violence. So here, this guy was deprived of his Nintendo Switch. He was deprived of his Nintendo Switch. And why? Because probably she wanted him to concentrate on studies, to concentrate on his schoolwork. So she's trying to make him better. But he won't understand this. He will understand it as a violation of his individual, and he responds violently, as many people are programmed to do on this planet. So yeah, they call him an autistic teen. Autism doesn't make you smash your teacher's face into the ground and kick her head and kick her belly while she's down. This is not autism. Now, the autism might make you like Nintendo DS very much. I know, bro. I'm on your side on this. Deprivation of electronics is a big thing. And it would have been a big thing for me to lose electronics. Thankfully, I've always had very open parents who always gave me my computer, access to the computer for infinite amount of time so I could program, so I could learn programming, so I could start designing networks, BBSs, built-in board systems before the internet. And as a child, it really helped my development. But many parents are in the deprivation of electronics mode, and she was in that mode, and she got smashed. And people even are saying he should be forgiven because he's autistic. We can't do this. That's why Mens Rea is unviable anymore. Because Mens Rea was designed to make sure that we don't put people in jail that are genuinely engaged in accidental behavior. Like, you don't want to be found guilty of murder if really you didn't want it to happen. That was the original function of Mens Rea, but it's been totally converted to special pleading for a subgroup of people. And it's not just blacks, but blacks can benefit from it a lot. The thing is, if you start saying, well, it's not a crime because he's autistic, you're going to have a bunch of autistic people hitting everyone in society. What are you going to do about this? You're going to try to teach them not to hit? Your attempt at teaching them anything has shown to be a failure. That's why we need to put him in jail. Dino Lugovic says, autism made me smash 3 TVs and throw a laptop in the pool. See, white autism here. You didn't hurt anyone. You just smashed TVs and the electronics felt nothing about it. That's white civilization in a nutshell. Rodita Sid says she voted for that kind of thing, so I have a little sympathy. She needed a social worker to stop the black guy stomping her face. Yes, using persuasion. There is not enough specialized workforce available in the... We don't have the human resources to stop these kids from smashing teachers' head in the floor. So I got together with my project manager, and we have started a new initiative, Don't Smash Your Teacher's Head on the Floor. It's a pamphlet program that goes door to door. I mean, this is the kind of crazy stuff you're going to hear in whenever you go work with these women anywhere, which is why I don't work with women. I will work alone if needed. I will go self-employed. I am not ever, for the rest of my life, I will die without interacting as part of work with a single woman. Poof! Oh, it feels great. It feels great. I can really categorize woman. There's my wife. There's my girlfriend. She's awesome. I can have a positive view of woman, finally, by limiting my interaction with one. And the rest, they don't exist. Because today actually, there's one old fan of me who, she's a woman, and she said she was a fan of me 6 years ago, and I believe her because her Twitter handle is Samantha Hyde. And people will remember, Samantha Hyde is my joke. Samantha Hyde is a meme I started on the internet. And it's when people were talking to me about Sam Hyde, Sam Hyde, Sam Hyde. And I was like, I don't know who that Sam Hyde is. And then I got shocked when I saw his picture for the first time, that he was truly Samuel Hyde, because I was imagining Samantha Hyde. I was imagining a perfect blonde, beautiful woman. But Sam Hyde pops up. And this person was telling me, because I was out there saying, make babies. I was telling Just Pearly Things, it's time to marry, make babies, just produce a bunch of babies. And she said, I don't like the tone with which you say it. But she was tone policing, totally. And every time it goes into my bag of observations of women, not engaging with the actual point, but tone policing instead. She was like, have you considered the fact that you telling people to have babies might actually slow them down from having babies? I don't have time to consider these things. You know why? Because in 30 years from now, we'll have been outcompeted by two or three other races, completely for the race to existence on planet Earth. And these other races, they tell their woman, make babies. You want to ask a Muslim how the tone... You want to ask a Muslim about my tone and whether it's appropriate? Go ask them. They're winning. They're growing their population. We're not. And so I'm going to use the tone of the populations that did it successfully. And that's Muslims, that's Africans. Because no matter what I do, it's not... I would want a society where a woman can be taken by the hand and gently counseled in the right direction. But the fact is, that society will be abolished. It will either be abolished by a bunch of autistic JFs telling women to have babies, or it will be abolished by a bunch of Africans and Muslims who will tell, they will tell it in an even more aggressive tone. So for, even from a tone perspective, I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best within the limits of the physical universe. Anyways, this woman, Samantha Hyde, was telling me that she abandoned my show because... because of the tone of my message. But she was like, by the way, I did pop out 4 babies. And I was like, wait a minute. So you're telling me you popped out 4 babies. So I was like, do you regret popping out these 4 babies? And it took me 2 or 3 tweets to ask her. She was refusing to answer the question. But at the end, she said, no, I don't regret. So, wait a minute, you were a fan of me, you listened to my pro-natalist show for years, so much so that your Twitter handle is a joke I've made 6 years ago. You made 4 babies, they make you happy, you realized how happy you are with these babies, and no, you certainly don't regret it. So you listened to my message despite the tone. And now today, you try to keep me from signaling to the younger woman, the you that was you 6 years ago. You're keeping me from being as hard with them as I was with you. And many of your babies, I would surmise, have been caused by me. Many of your four babies, I don't know how many of them she had within the last 6 years, but conceivably she's had three or four of them in the last 6 years. So I caused your current happiness, and what you're doing right now with your tone policing, Samantha Hyde, you are trying to keep other women from being pushed as hard as I pushed you. So fuck you, and I blocked you on Twitter. You are past due. You have expired your use for civilization. Because right now you are being an impediment to other women benefiting from the happiness that you today have reserved for yourself. Stray's channel says they instinctively sabotage other women. I mean, we keep talking about this, but every time I'm like, I'm going to be surprised. It's not going to happen this time. But no, they do it again. They do it again. It's like every single time your equations of the world works. This is so frustrating. There's the frustration of being wrong, but people don't talk often about the frustration of being right. The frustration of having it all figured out. I know the math. It's simple. You are a simple being. You're not a snowflake. I know your program, and you suck. Samantha Hyde. Rudy Lacid says, yeah, JF, you basically inseminated her even without your or her knowledge. I mean, yeah, and someone was reminding me that she may have sent super chats back in the day saying how much she enjoyed the pronatal commentary. Based Saxon says, I told you so, never feels as good as you think. Hope it would. As you hope it would. Yeah. I'm a guy who keeps pursuing I told you so, and who keeps again and again being disappointed. I'm disappointed because I'm like, oh, so that means I was right. At least if I was wrong, there would be a point for growth. There would be a point for learning. But no, this guy is going to punch this teacher's head into the ground. This girl is going to make arguments against young women reproducing that are totally contrary to her own fucking behavior. It's unbelievable. Anyways, police body cam footage of the Trump shooter. They say the Trump shooter. I don't see the Trump shooter on these body cams. I see a failure of the... this is the body cam of the police that have failed. This is the body cams of the police that scrambled for minutes and minutes after the shooting to even get onto the roof. So I don't learn much from these body cams other than the extent of the mess, the extent of the difficulty that they had, which is that they didn't have a ladder. And so they were stuck doing the short ladder with police lifting other police. One of them accessed the roof, probably fell down or threw himself down because he was afraid of getting shot. He runs to his car. He comes back. They try to lift other policemen. They're too heavy, so they can't. And it's like at this point, the sniper is dead, I would presume. It's like they're trying to look on an urgency basis, but they are totally failing at getting onto the fucking roof. Then we see from another video that they try to stack pallets to get to the roof, but that doesn't seem to work more. And so in the final body cam that does access the shooter, location. The shooter is already dead at this time, and in fact the police arrives and there's already two guys standing on the roof, so we see the third arriving. It shows that there was no tactical preparation to handle a roof situation. basically, it's like everyone assumed that this roof would be clear, and it just wasn't clear this time. Now, we also hear revelations from an audio conversation that there was someone in the local police service very pissed off, and he's cursing, and he's saying, I had told them Tuesday to check this roof. So basically, the Secret Service was warned, this is a point of importance. You should position police there. And somehow there were police positioned, but they were not on the roof, they were under the roof. So basically all the warnings had been given to the Secret Service, and their lack of preparation is their own fault. An African immigrant has stabbed a British police officer in Gateshead, UK. You know, at this point with the this UK police persecuting white people for opposing immigration and arresting white people for speaking out against immigration, I don't know if I'm gonna cry this one out. I don't know if I'm really feeling bad about it. I think I'm going to be neutral here. Maybe the police was racist. Jeremy Kaufman says, government schools are literal prisons for children and the only place most people will experience physical violence in their entire life. That is very important. We must remind people of that, because that he was discussing the suicide rate and how basically people being withdrawn from the school longer reduce their suicide rate. This is what Tyler Black was publishing as an MD. If you take children, the states that have taken children longer out of school, they had an accidental effect on reducing suicide. I never heard about. And it's not across the whole population. It's specifically the children who are in school. So school-age children. Meaning, the public school is a cause of suicide. And Jeremy Kaufman points out, this is one of the only place in life where you'll go that is supervised by state authorities and where you will be the victim of violence. Because, of course, they're going to pair you with lesser quality students, so that they can equalize, so that they can take your grade and up the average. And of course, you're going to suffer from this diversity because they're going to treat you in the way they treat themselves into their own families. So, homeschooling is a way at this point to protect children from physical trauma. This girl is starting to annoy me, the Haktua girl. But I just want to show this clip because this is important. This is a style of clip that you need to recognize. This style of clip, whenever you see this, means that the person is not a free thinker, is not a free agent. They are under contract and they are forced to say this. Look at this. This is the signature clip.
Okay, X, show me your best memes. Okay, X, show me your best memes. Okay, X, show me your best memes.
This is not her having done this from her own initiative. There's a Jew there somewhere. And he's filming and he's under contract with her. And he thinks he can use her image. For DK Shadow says she has handlers for sure. When you have this, I don't really care, but okay, just open up your phone and I'll do it in 3 seconds. What do I have to say? Show me your best memes? Okay. Hey, show me your best memes. This is a coached, handled girl. And now we're supposed to be interested at seeing this girl being manipulated by the security check. By the way, this is a security check. I think that you go through voluntarily. It's when you don't want to be scanned in the machine, right? So now we're supposed to consume the Haktua porn of seeing her inspected by a TSA agent. Mark this channel says to avoid irradiation. Yeah, these machines, they basically strip you from your clothes, and the TSA agent is seeing a 3D model of you naked. I've looked at these images. It's weird because wow, you see people's belly as if they were naked. Ray says, nah, it's over. Yeah, Trump is underperforming. The surveys are turning in the favor of Kamala. The prediction markets are turning in favor of Kamala. I'm happy that I was early off the Trump boat, because it's looking worse and worse, and he seems like he's cementing his position against the far right.
That Kamala is in favor of not giving Israel weapons? Yeah. That's what I hear. Look, she's been very, very bad to Israel, and she's been very bad to Jewish people. And I say it, if anybody I know is Jewish and they would vote for Kamala over me, they should have their head examined. If you think about it, I gave them Golan Heights. I gave them the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. I even built the embassy. I gave them no Iran deal. The problem is they didn't do anything with it. Iran was broke. We could have made a deal so easily. I would have had a deal done within 1 week after the election with Iran. Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. It's very simple. We would have gotten along with Iran. I was looking forward to it. I was fine with Iran. You know, we hit them a couple of times pretty hard, but we would have been fine with Iran. But I terminated that deal. I got them the Abraham Accords. Everyone said that's impossible. I got them the Abraham Accords.
So he spends a whole minute talking about Jews. Why don't you spend a minute talking about white people, Trump? I mean, it's as racialist. Talking about Jews and how they should love you is as racialist as talking about white people and how they should love you. Trump could get my support, and I'm sure Nick Fuentes wouldn't need much more. He could get my support literally with a minute of empty symbolic promises, just to reassure that he's in line with the welfare of white people in America. But he can't do it, just like Jordan Peterson, just like the Haktua girl. They're all under contract. UK authorities begin to arrest citizens for social media posts containing inaccurate information.
We have some breaking news now, and a woman has been arrested by Cheshire Police in relation to an inaccurate information on social media about the attacker in the Southport murders. It says a 55-year-old woman from near Chester was arrested earlier today, Thursday the 8th, of course, on suspicion of publishing written material to stir up racial hatred and false communications. She is currently being held in police custody. Chief Superintendent Alison Ross has also made a statement saying...
Man, the UK is absolutely gone. It's done. It's not a Western civilization as far as I'm concerned anymore. It has a history that was Western. It has veered into some sort of local communistic Indian communism, fascism, call it what you want. And you know, Nigel Farage is calling for the double standard, because here's this guy saying that they are disgusting and we need to cut their heads. And he's talking about the fascist, what he calls the fascist protesters against immigration. So if you're truly, as the UK government, just interested in violent speech, here's a man clearly calling for murder of a political group, of a racial group, really, because it's white people, basically. And, yeah, arrest this guy. But no, they're targeting the anti-immigrant sentiment. Breaking, President Putin signs a law legalizing Bitcoin and crypto mining in Russia. This keeps going on and off. At some point, they were making it illegal and they were saying it won't happen. And I think there's some sort of opposition because when it's the Central Bank of Russia making an announcement, it's always that, oh no, forget about Bitcoin in Russia, doesn't work. I remember the last news cycle they did about this a couple of months ago. They were saying we don't need Bitcoin because it would be repetitive with Russian money, with the ruble. Ruble, I don't know what it is. And so I was like, what is happening? They've been making this 3 or 4 times that they go one way against Bitcoin and then pro-Bitcoin. But when it's President Putin, it's generally pro-Bitcoin. So, I mean, if Russia... This is a slippery slope. It's very interesting for Bitcoiners because Russia may not be a massive economy, but if Russia starts using Bitcoin, Bitcoin is so easy to use and it's so easy to transport billions of dollars of worth from one account to the other for $2 of fees that you may have, you know, billions being exchanged between. And if you start involving Saudi Arabia, the other buyers of oil, India, China, you could have a whole economy rising around Bitcoin, and especially to escape, you know, sanctions or attempts of the US at depriving Russia of economic liberty. So it's this could all have a massive impact on the price down the line. Like in the coming years, it's very exciting if massive global markets like those for energy switch toward Bitcoin. All right, Tim Walz says there is no guarantee to free speech for misinformation or hate speech. The UK model, ladies and gentlemen, coming to America.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy. I think we need...
There kind of is. I mean, the thing is, yes, basically everything that is called a hate speech by current social media platform is protected by the First Amendment. Now, there is a form of extreme hate speech in which you would be calling for a crime that would be immediate, where it would be an immediate threat to the person, where it would be targeted, where you'd be like, I'm going to go kill this person at this address and come and help me. Now, that is not protected by the First Amendment, but 99.999% of the tweets that get deleted for hate speech is protected under the First Amendment. The First Amendment allows you to even hate minorities, to even refer to violence around minorities, as long as it's not immediate and a perceivable threat. So you're totally wrong, Tim Walz. You can't scratch the First Amendment that way. You know, people are developing a whole big badass bus woman image around Kamala Harris. And that moment is getting the soy boy leftists so excited. It's like, oh, she told someone in the crowd to shut up. Oh,
you know what? If you want Donald Trump to win, then say that. Otherwise, I'm speaking.
Ha ha ha! this is the biology of poor acting. So one of the things that an untrained actor does is they will repeat artificially generated facial expressions in a way that never comes naturally. Naturally, you don't consciously think, I'm going to look sad. And then you have another boost of, oh yeah, I have to look more sad even. The second wave, third wave of the facial expression reveals the lack of actor training. Now look at how many waves of big badass boss woman we have here. Look at the sassiness developing in three cycles. Let's count them. 1. So you have the frowning of the front head. Let's go back to the sentence that she says.
Then say that, otherwise I'm speaking.
So there's the sassy talk to the hand. Then there's the drop of the mic. See that's a mic drop end. That is the end that you do when you mic drop. So in her head, she's thinking, let's mic drop these Palestinian protesters. So she's dropping the mic, having a straight sight at them, no movement, no expression, poker face style of ending typical to a mic drop moment. Frowning of the eyes. And the secondary attitude right here, sassy attitude with after the frowning. Like this is, and then looking away uninterested. This is a model trying to wait for the picture to be taken. This is someone trying to, she had decided this night, I need a badass moment, and she went and get it. Chuck Garrity says she probably practiced that in the mirror for days. It looks like. Keemstar reports, as someone who's in the online entertainment business for 15 plus years and literally knows and talks to everyone, what I'm about to tell you is 100% confirmed facts. Kamala Harris has been offering many influencers serious money to help promote her and her campaign. The amount being offered I have seen has been as low as $1,500 to close to $500,000 per influencer. We're talking Twitch streamers, YouTubers, TikTokers, big Instagram accounts, etc. Yeah, we've heard of a lot of kind of leftist personalities of streaming or apolitical personalities. They're getting a lot of offers, and maybe these big guys that she's courting, many of them will want to stay apolitical, so they're and many of them would probably need a lot of money to get moving, but she's gonna probably catch a couple that are tempted by the offer. Maybe some of them will be ideologically anti-Trump and they will want to do it with kind of an ideological motivation to it. Lendald Guntram says, social anthropology with JF, you can learn a lot from Dr. Garyepi. Well, thank you. That is the goal here. And you know how low the Trump campaign goes with this? It just feels very small. They tried accusing Waltz, the new running mate of Kamala. They tried accusing him of stolen valor. And it's like, oh, well, he claims that he's a retired master sergeant. And technically, he wasn't retired as a master sergeant because he basically didn't want to go on continuing to follow courses, and eventually the army saw that he wasn't there following the courses, so they demoted him and then they fired him. And so for the purpose of retirement money, he's retired not at the title that he had. He's retired at the title below, because if you don't finish your contract, you can't retire at this level. Now, so is it stolen valor? Well, he can argue that it's fine to say that he retired as a master surgeon, because from his perspective, he was a master surgeon and then he stopped going to the army. So it's not stolen valor. Stolen valor is when you make up an entire story of you in the military and you haven't been in it. It's just a technicality, really. And it's technical to say that he wasn't that title when he retired. Jordan Peterson in Canada has been rejected by the Supreme Court of Canada. So this was all the College of Psychologists. They looked at Jordan Peterson's tweets and they said, okay, so you're against trans and you're encouraging people against being fat. That's outside of our standard. That, because our standard is to care for people who are trans. So you can't be a psychologist. You can't be part of the College of Psychologists of Ontario if you have these beliefs. So they dismissed him, or they actually said, if you follow these courses, we'll let you in, but we have to judge if you've been re-educated properly, because with your current beliefs, you can't be a psychologist. And my opinion on this, despite the fact that I'm for liberty and I hate unionized work and these professional organizations, I hate them. But I believe in freedom of association. So I believe if an organization wants to have standards, they have to be able to impose standards. Think about the plumbers. So imagine a plumber who decides to install crappy pipes everywhere. There has to be a mechanism by which the Association of Plumbers says, this guy is not ours. Maybe he does some artwork. Maybe he's an artist. Maybe he's a great artist with pipes, but his pipes have holes and they leak and they destroy houses. So we don't want him to be calling himself a plumber anymore. You have to have something like this. You have to have the freedom of association of a professional standard being potentially applied. Now, there's all sorts of things about the College of Psychology that are wrong. Their monopoly is wrong. They shouldn't be monopolizing. There should be alternative colleges of psychology also giving you a license, but it would be a different license. You would know, okay, if I'm going to college one, I'm going to get a psychologist of this kind. If I'm going to college two, I'm going to get JF. I'm going to get JF yelling at me to make more babies. Now, all of this to say, I agree with the Canada Supreme Court here. The College of Psychology can decide, well, you know, refusing to gender change is outside of our profession. Our profession encourages gender change. And, you know, what Jordan Peterson has to do then is to be something else than a psychologist. And you are a commentator on the public space. You can influence freely the world, but you can't claim a medal from a professional license that has those other standards that you don't respect. Now, just to show you, Jordan Peterson is going into an internet war. And it's like, that is low, bro. That is not something I would even do. Even to someone I really hate. He's calling for fake complaints to be submitted. Now, that is like internet sewer type of crap. He's like, first, in his first tweet, he was saying, the gloves are off. He was saying, this is a hill that's worth not so much dying on as retaking. And now, boys and girls, the gloves are off. And the gloves are off. What does this mean? He's going to make some... He's going to direct the crowds of 4chan frogs to be combating the College of Psychology. The college is there is this electronic portal for complaints used by those who levied their accusations against me. It can be used by anyone anywhere for any reason. The college is required to make a determination about the validity of each complaint. It is my understanding that they have received many complaints about their own behavior and pursued none of those. So he gives himself just enough leeway for plausible deniability, but he's calling for an anonymous... Yes, Barnaby Brito, an anonymous troll demons! Jordan hated the anonymous troll demon, but suddenly he became what he hated most. And we're seeing the Israeli society process through the whole scandal of the rape of Palestinians, because you have these Palestinians that are imprisoned. You know, they've been caught, maybe some of them doing actual terrorism. But from what I see in the arrest of people, basically random civilian Palestinians are being taken in and traumatized in Israeli prison. And we now have video of it beaten and raped in the ass. So the Israeli society is trying to process through the fact that the rapists have received so much support from the far-right conservative Jews who believe, based on Judaism, that it's legal to rape people of another race. That it became a mainstream thing, a mainstream covered event, that they went in the prison to not to liberate the Palestinians that were getting raped, to protect the rapist. They said, no. By Judaic law, it's not rape because they're not humans. And they went in the prison and freed the rapist. And you have these discussions on TV where they're saying, well, first, let's talk about this. First, they deserved it. They start like this, and this makes you realize just how different of a society this is. Because although you might have rape in our society, you might have people even who are extremists and who believe that the rape is justified, you wouldn't have in a polite mainstream TV conversation people making the defense of it, saying... And in fact, they even had one of the... one of the unit of soldiers that were involved in these allegations of rape. They had him... They had him with a mask for an interview. This is not something you would see in Western civilization. So I said, here you can observe the warped sense of revenge of the Israelis. They deserve it, they say. Well, wait a minute. How do you know the guy you're abusing was directly involved in a rape? You don't. You attribute guilt by grouping, and you take revenge against random members of the group. It would be unthinkable for a TV conversation to go that way in the West. So people like Jordan Peterson, who present Israel as an advanced outpost of the West, are wrong. They're not like us and never will be. And we have to talk also about the what Frog Eyes has reported in news. He says, "Sup, fellas, I announced my wife as pregnant in the chat late last year. Please report a healthy baby was born yesterday. Finally home now. Shoutouts pronatal JFG community." Oh, well, that's good. I've been contacted by some people who are in the process of making babies because of this show. And sometimes they contact me in the weirdest situations. Like, sometimes they're at the hospital. I think a week ago, someone was contacting me in emergency. And it was like, "JF, they're about to induce my wife. It's going to be dramatic. Oh my God, my baby's heart rate is this." And it's like, what can I do, JF? Should I try to stop them? Is there something I can do to save the baby? Can we?" And it's like, my answer to anyone nervous like this is, and really anything that happens during the delivery or before that makes you nervous, my answer is, and this you should retain if you plan to make babies, stop worrying. Your worries are worth nothing. They serve nothing. Your baby is stuck in a non-oxygenated place, cared for by the grace of a system involving the lungs of your wife and her blood connecting to the placenta and giving him his oxygen. Any sort of worry you may have will probably be just an impediment at acting properly at the moment the baby gets out. There's nothing magical you can do. There's nothing magical the nurse can do. There's nothing magical the doctor can do. The reality is the physical universe will follow its course. And there may be a little defect where he's missing oxygen, and they're going to try to do their best then when his head is out. But until then, there's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do. And so let it go. Accept the fate will be whatever it is. The universe is programmed in a chain of causality that will lead to a result with the baby. And you have zero control over it and therefore zero reason to care. So you should be poker-faced, waiting for the baby, and most importantly, have enormous amounts of faith in the natural process, because every generation, people got selected to bear those babies, to give birth to them, and it's been working in your case and in your wife's case for 4 billion years. And so the chances that it stops working now are massively low, incredibly low. Most of the time, what will happen is your baby will come out healthy, no matter what the nurse is yelling, no matter what the little beepy machine says, beep, 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 beep. Doesn't matter. None of it matters. The physics goes on. We need to talk about plagiarism, because Yan Malchung is one of these accounts that across the years, I think at some point was some kind of a respectable journalist, but he's converted into just draining content from other accounts lately. And you know, it's on the new X of Elon Musk, there's this race to just attract the most eyes you can to make money, make money, make money. And I'm totally not into this at all. You know, I don't think when I tweet, how do I make more views? How do I make more impressions? Because I know how to make more impressions. I don't want to do that work. I don't want to be, waking up in the morning, checking the big accounts and trying to rip their stuff within 5 minutes so that I get their views instead of them. I know how to do a meme account. It's not honest in my view what they do. And people are getting tired because we're seeing content that keeps popping back. And it's like, I've seen this 2 months ago. It's not really news. It's not really breaking. But I caught Yan Mazhchang in an absolutely clear to me plagiarism case. Okay, so although I've been annoyed by many of his interventions across the last few months, this one makes no doubt to me. Okay, so we're going to read the first tweet that I had seen. it was from Matt Walsh. Matt Walsh says, I saw the media making a big deal about the all-black podium at the Olympics and thought it was just dumb race baiting. I didn't realize they blatantly robbed a white girl out of her medal so they could get their all-black podium. Truly the DEI Olympics. And we learn with this video that basically they made a all-black gymnastic podium, but they did so by counting this as a step over the blue part of the carpet. So they punished the white girl so that they could have their all-black podium as a historical moment for black women. And everyone sees on the camera, this was not a violation of the rules. Clearly, her heel is not touching the blue part. Okay. Now, Yan Mazhchang, 1 hour later, comes with basically the very same tweet. Look at the reuse of some of the concepts of the original tweet. The media's focus on the all-black podium at the Olympics seemed like unnecessary race baiting to me. I was unaware that they had deliberately denied a white athlete her rightful medal in order to achieve this all-black podium. So that is a copy of Matt Walsh's tweet. Look, Matt Walsh, the mention of an all-black podium with quotes, the mention that the media was making a big deal, and Yan Mazhchang rephrased it to the media's focus. I thought it was just dumb race baiting. Yan Mazhchang says, I thought it was unnecessary race baiting. I didn't realize they blatantly robbed a white girl out of her medal. I was unaware that they had deliberately denied a white athlete her rightful medal. And in order so they could get their all-black podium, in order to achieve this all-black podium. This is not just plagiarism, it's lazy plagiarism. And I tweeted about it and Yan Mazhchang is silent about it. Come on, Yan. Be a man. You used to present yourself as an actual journalist. An actual journalist doesn't do this. You've clearly just rephrased to, yeah, lazy paraphrasing, says the bird flu. That's the whole structure of the tweet is re-imported and just the words are changed. This is very sad to me because it's a lowering of the standard and there's nothing to fight against this on Twitter. The thing is, there's the copyright claim, but you have to have the original copyright owner make the claim, so you'd have to have Matt Walsh feel that he wants to delete this tweet. And the problem is very often in journalism, the journalist doesn't want to do a copyright complaint. So we need a layer of protection against plagiarism because it's not just Matt Walsh that's victimized by plagiarism. The whole community of X is victimized by it. We are getting fooled that this account has produced this thought and it's not really him and he doesn't really deserve the merit. So I would suggest that Elon Musk thinks about this. What could we develop to have a system to combat plagiarism so that people are incentivized at producing truly original thought? And if you don't have an original thought this morning, then shut the fuck up and take the reduction in pay. Like, you're supposed to not be so much dependent on X money that that you need to produce memes every day. Like these accounts, they're like machines. They have these stacked up tweets and they release them constantly. It's like, we know that you can't keep this rhythm naturally. You're cheating. You're on drugs. Unconventional wisdom says we should be making a huge noise about how they racially disqualify the white athlete. Yell it. This is a moment we can capitalize on. I mean, sure, the main story is scandalous indeed, and it's an important one. With the Olympics are truly, truly pro-system. They are truly in, you are at the heart of the corruption here. So I don't think you're going to get much impact, and the media will probably just sweep this under the rug. Rodila Sid says, community notes could point to the original if enough people notice it. The problem is someone big could copy a smaller account's thoughts, and community notes would side with the bigger account. Yeah, there's always this problem at the intersection between democracy, decision-making. This whole world is so dependent on mobs that nothing true can be established. I need to talk also about Milo Yiannopoulos, who called me a desperately thirsty buffoon. I always hate it when people who don't have skin in the game of reproduction comment on my heterosexual lifestyle. And it's always the same type. It's always soy boy, gayish, Jewish. It's always there. They take massive issue with me reproducing and, you know, calling me a desperately thirsty buffoon. First, it's inaccurate. I'm not that much into sex. I'm mostly having sex for the purpose of reproduction. If you want my feeling on it, if it wasn't of reproduction, I don't think I would get into any sex, perhaps. So the goal of sex is reproduction. And when I was young, I wanted a family of 10 children. And the amount of sex I've engaged in with 200 women, approximately, is the amount of sex that was minimal to get to this big family. Because if we were in a world where I can have a wife and she can make 10 babies for me, that would be awesome. But we're not in that world. And this is where it pisses me off. Milo Yiannopoulos doesn't have to deal with any of these trade-offs. Because Milo Yiannopoulos is gay, okay? He's gay, childless, and sad. Now, unfortunately, in our world, with the rate of production of one baby per wife, you do have to have 200 wives or girlfriends to eventually get to 10 babies. And really, I didn't get to my goal of 10 babies, but I'm close to it, and I think I may achieve it. So I've really engaged in my life with the minimal amount of sex needed to get there. If I had slowed down, if I had not engaged in sex, I would have lost maybe an opportunity for a romantic history that could build into baby making. And each of these women I've engaged with, it was always for them becoming my wife and eventually getting to baby making. Now, that's not the way it turns most of the time, because modern women are propagandized. All of this to say, it's inaccurate to say I'm desperately thirsty. I'm just thirsty enough for the world to keep going. I'm barely thirsty enough for my genetic line to keep going. Now, why did Milo call me this? It's because Milo is so gay still, despite him claiming that he's not gay anymore, that he's a gay in recovery. Milo will always have the mind, the broken mind of a gay self-hating, mother-hating man. Because that's the whole story of Milo taking dicks in the ass for many years. He did it for vengeance because he hates his mom. Now, I don't know if his mom is worth hating. I don't know if she's a good person or if it's Milo that's wrong about her or right about her. That doesn't matter. You should not hate your mom to a self-destructive level. Or else, I mean, I'm not even gonna say it, but or else there would be a short, there would be a shortcut available. So Milo Yiannopoulos is a broken man, but here he comes out with a story about a dentist that's been exploiting Ye, and the story is not bad. It's interesting, you know. He comes out with an affidavit. He says, "This is my statement of belief under oath. I'm telling the truth." And what he documents is basically a whole history of Ye pissing money out the window. And oh my God, these rich people, there must be people around them constantly wanting to exploit them. And so I believe that the work that Milo does in this original story is good work. And I would have wanted to cover it positively. Now, some of the facts in there have turned out to be false already, and they've been denied publicly, and Milo retracted them. But the general story remains that basically there was this dentist. He's the dentist who gives, you know, these celebrities diamond teeth, golden teeth, and all the, and the titanium denture of Ye. You know how he has a uni-titanium denture? He's making this for hundreds of thousands of dollars and sometimes charging millions of dollars for very specialized celebrity works. Now, he's also overcharging Ye for having nitrous gas as an available substance for anesthesia in the dentist room. And what Ye claims is Ye got addicted to nitrous gas consumption, was using his dentist as a cover, basically. I mean, Ye, the way Milo, the way he presents it, the dentist would have been exploiting Ye, trying to get him addicted to the nitrous gas. Eventually, the dentist got even Ye to come sleep at his home for some weird stuff, and that was more occasion to rip money off from him and make him more addicted to nitrous gas, and in fact, giving him so much nitrous gas that it would have broken Ye's brain. Now, this allegation I'm putting aside because, you know, Ye has original behavior, creative, bipolar behavior. But I don't think that anything in the last few years is fundamentally different from his usual behavior. And in fact, there's some degree of Ye getting into these behaviors. Like, if he got into nitrous gas, he probably did it on his own volition. So I'm not going to tag Ye as a victim here, as Milo wants to frame the story. But this is the story you would have. And then the dentist comes to Milo Yiannopoulos, who was the chief of staff of Ye. And Milo at this, Milo presents himself as a saint who basically came into the Ye organization and started cleaning up. And I saved Ye so much money, and I started making criminal background check. I was the first to do criminal background checks onto Ye's employee. And I found this guy had criminal background, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, so this dentist was kind of trying to elbow Milo with many pressures, saying, "Hey, Milo, you should pay me $2 million right now." And Milo was like, as the as the chief of staff and in charge of managing Ye's finances, why the fuck do you want $2 million? And the dentist was like, well, you know, we've gotten a new setup for nitrous oxide at the dental clinic. And this setup requires a lot of scientific supervision. Basically, that's how I see the story, although it's not these exact words that Milo says. Basically, he was trying to, in coded language, say to Milo, you have to pay me $2 million because I'm the pusher of Ye's nitrous gas addiction. And that's just how much nitrous gas Ye has been consuming. And Milo was refusing. So Milo, after being... So what Milo says is that he basically got pushed out of the Ye organization by Ye himself, but not in an official way. What Ye did is he went out with this meme, and you guys will remember it. The meme is, I'm going to start making porn. You know, Ye came out of nowhere at some point and started saying, Ye Productions, we will start filming porn now. Now, apparently that was a tactic of Ye to get Milo to resign. So Ye to force Milo out, because Milo had warned him, I'm a Catholic now, I'm not gay anymore. And Milo had warned him, if you ever engage in porn production, I will resign. So Ye said, I'm engaging in porn production now. Here's a camera, here's my dick. We're making porn! That was all to get Milo fired automatically without having to pay him severance or to you know, have to handle the process from a fair perspective. Kanye decided to go porn so that Milo would get away from him. And Milo seems to think that this is related to Kanye's brain damage from nitrous oxide and perhaps addiction. Perhaps Ye wanted the gas and Milo was starting to be too much of a pain in the ass to get it. I think it's an interesting story. And I think the truths that Milo captured here, although some of the details have already been proven false, but I believe Milo in his assessment of the whole situation, the general assessment. Okay, this looks like a dark little trick that celebrities use to have basically medication and drugs. And it's a huge problem in California. I mean, people there, and it's not just about nitrous gas. It's about all sorts of addictive drugs that doctors are giving that are not in your interest at all. And you'd be better off without them. And they give it to everyone like candies. And it's basically, if you pay the doctor, he's going to give you what you want. So it's a big problem from a medical standpoint, and the population has been made addicted, and some of them die even from things like fentanyl overdose, and it used to be a legal thing that doctors would give. So it's a big problem, and Milo, as reported last week to the dentist, the College of Dentistry, just like the College of Psychology of Ontario with Jordan Peterson, Milo has reported officially Thomas Connelly, the dentist, so that he would be investigated for this passation of nitrous gas. Now, I think maybe the story is true. I have no reason to question Milo. And I believe him on faith, on like knowing him. I don't see why he would lie about all this. So I think that the general beliefs that he has are justified. But at the same time, this is celebrities. They do whatever they want. I don't even know if the College of Dentistry will investigate this, will care about it, or maybe they're going to try sweeping it under the rug. It's just probably Ye wanted to be leaking all this money out. Probably Ye didn't want to be sober. And this is what's happening with addicts. It's like, yes, I can see Milo trying to help him being a good thing. But the addict will want to stay in it. The addict will not want the help. And the addict eventually will kick you out of his life if you try too hard. And it seems to be what has happened here with Milo. Now, I was headed toward complimenting Milo for this story. But there was something, and you know, he publishes this photo and he says, heterosexuality has been restored. That is not heterosexuality, bro. That is as gay as it gets. And your use of the Christian cross is so gay. It's like you're using it as a fashion item with your gay looks and gay attitude and gay beliefs, and you still have a gay cognition. I was about to tell you that I love everything about this story and that it's very kind of Milo to have exposed this publicly. But he couldn't help but ruin it by behaving like a queen. And here's his tweet that made me say, okay, well, Milo, you are too fantastic. You are too fabulous for your own good. You're still gay in the head. He says, TMZ just called to tell me they're going to run the dentist denial, but they turned down my original story. I have never lied to them in half a decade of working together. I've given them, I don't know, 200 exclusives over the years. They're dead to me after this, forever. And it's like so dramatic, bro. Whatever you have to say against this dentist, he certainly has a right to speak publicly and to be heard in a big platform, since he was attacked on a big platform. And in fact, him coming out and correcting some facts have already led to you retracting, confirming that the TMZ approach is the correct one here. They didn't betray you. You should welcome the fact that they're doing journalistic work that you were not willing to do. And I understand you're not a journalist. You were coming out with this as an affidavit from a testifying person. That's you coming out under oath. But TMZ is a journalistic organization and they have to let him speak. And running the denial of a story is not a reason to dissociate yourself from someone. It's not even a matter of truth. It's a matter of they have the right to speak, to give us their version. And in fact, they were so right about this that you've now retracted parts of the details of your story. So what I wrote, I think, is totally fair here. I wrote explaining to Milo, you did an incomplete journalistic job by not letting the other side speak. It's totally natural that they cover the angle that was left uncovered. It's not even a matter of what is true, but of who has the right to speak. The dentist has a right to speak. And, you know, other than this, I was liking the Milo story. I want this story to be out, but I also want to read the denial from the dentist. Milo doesn't want this. Milo considers it's betrayal from TMZ. And to my very reasonable approach, he says, shut the absolute fuck up, you desperately thirsty buffoon. I've already explained why I'm not a desperately thirsty buffoon. I have the minimal amount of sex needed in my life to get to my goals of having a big family. But to say, shut the absolute fuck up, that's gay. That's gay. That's as That's as fabulous of a behavior that I've seen in my life, really. When you feel that you are so narcissistic that you hear your own dunking on someone else, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm dunking so hard, bro. I'm gonna add absolute. I'm dunking on this guy so hard. It's like, shut the absolute fuck up. That's gay, Milo. And I hope you get healed at some point. I hope you get better. But stop complaining about those people who won at the game of reproduction before you even understood the game. Stop going after. I hate it when people who have no skin in the game at all. Milo Yiannopoulos goes into the dust within the next 80 years. And nothing of him remains. And he's not even an important thinker to the extent that the day he dies, there's nothing left that will keep a memory of Milo from. So his whole existence is a block of the universe that lasts somewhere between 40 and 80 years. I hate it when these people put themselves into a judgment mode against people who are playing a totally different game. I'm playing the game of continuity. I'm playing the game of survival. I'm playing the game of baby making. The game, by the way, that is necessary for gay people like you to even exist. The reason you exist is that there are people who are not like you. The reason I exist is that there are people who are like me. That was my message to Milo. I think we'll be headed toward the conclusion of the show. Oh yeah, there was Pearl Davis. She was saying, my opinions have changed a lot in the last 6 months, and I don't know what to do with all of this. I said, this is why women make poor public thinkers. You should marry and burst babies out. Forget about holding any form of public intellectual consistency because it is out of your domain of natural excellence. We know the reason women are changing all the time. It's women are followers of the current trend. And we know what you're doing. Like, you're looking around and you're grabbing whatever looks the best. That is a style of behavior that is totally unfit to be public speakers. To be a public speaker, you need to be able to hold on to an idea and be so right about it that you're willing to die with it while other people tell you you're wrong. And while other people, just so that after your death, the people that come after your death can eventually see that you were right. That's just how hard you need to be at it. And if you follow trends, forget about it. The trends are going to get in the wrong direction one day or another. One day it's going to be favorable to you. One day it's going to be the other way. Dino Legovich sends a super chat. He says, for the therapy bills, Twitter is a brutal place. I don't need no therapy. I'm doing awesome. I'm doing awesome. If you have money for therapy, send it to Milo. Swing It says, JF, I was watching MMA today and just realized how similar you look to GSP, face, hair, and speech. Absolutely. And I don't look that much like GSP. But let me tell you, whenever I see GSP's face and when he speaks, I see the facial patterns of my brothers, my cousins. It's like, I know this is a guy from our people. And you know, Saint-It, which is where GSP comes from. We were going there when I was young to get a moose sausage. We were going there because there was a special butcher who was butchering moose in such a fine way. He was making the best sausages. I hate him because he died without giving me the recipe for the sausages. So the Saint-It sausages have been tasted only by me and GSP probably, and my father. But man, do I recognize the facial Québécois, the facial expression of the Québécois people in the way we laugh, the way we speak. There's something weird that we do with our mouth and our cheeks and our forehead muscles, and I see all of it. I know what you're talking about, and yes, it's there. Much love, everyone. I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.